This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Welcome, everyone, to Pop Culture Confidential, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's our Emmy prediction special with my frequent prediction partner, Thelma Adams. She's a jack of all trades, film critic, former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle. She's a predictor at Gold Derby, both for the Oscars and the Emmys, and of course, a novelist. Welcome back, Thelma.
It is a pleasure. And Emmys this year, who hasn't been watching a lot of TV?
We've all been trapped in front of our televisions, yeah.
I mean, oddly enough, even some of the great things of this year, I've only caught up with in the past month or two and have been really stunned and happy with the shows that are rising to the top and the variety of shows we have. And also always my thing, a lot of female-driven shows, not just star driven, but behind the camera, writing the script. So this year is a really good year, I think.
I completely agree. I don't think I'm going to say it at the top. I think it's, and this may bite me in the ass. I think that it's going to year to predict. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if there's any huge spoilers as to what the predictors are saying right now, but it's a very good, interesting year. But it's as opposed to the pandemies last year, this is going to be an in-person event. Cedric the Entertainer is a veteran stand-up, and he has a show on CBS called The Neighborhood. He's going to host it. Well, what do you think?
I think these things are kind of unhostable. It's a challenge. It's difficult. Often what you learn the first time you do it, you don't get a second time to perfect it. I think he's going to be amiable and funny, and I'm open to it.
And another thing before we start is that we've had the Creative Arts Emmys. They're always sort of ahead of the big Emmys, which are on Sunday. It was dominated by, the winners were Queen's Gambit, The Crown. Netflix has had some big nights for the Creative Arts Emmys. Claire Foy won for guest actress of The Crown for like a part that was under 1 minute, where she basically just reads from a paper she read. She did a guest appearance on The Crown. Do you think that
it's a Judi Dench thing, you know? Yeah.
But do you think that the fact that Queen's Gambit and The Crown won so much at the Creative Arts Emmys that we're going to see them here?
I think so. I think so. And I just caught up entirely with the Queen's Gambit. I love that show. So fascinating. Also, just fascinating. That's the story, again, of an intelligent woman who's not perfect. I mean, it's baked into the character that she's a prodigy, but that she's messed up from the beginning.
She's,
you know, with a kind of Dickensian
from age seven. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm really blown away by the Queen's Gambit. I mean, always have been a big Crown fan. I still am a little bitter, you know, when they did the changing of the guard and Claire Foy left. Mm-hmm. I was really invested in her.
Yeah.
And in fact, she's in a lovely movie with Benedict Cumberbatch about the artist Louis Wain that I just saw. And it's a romantic period comedy. I mean, not comedy. I'm sorry. So sorry. A romantic period drama. And the two of them are really delightful together, Claire Foy and Benedict Cumberbatch. Just really good.
Yeah, and she won her Emmy for this role, even though she wasn't even in the season. So you got what lots of people
have. There's a lot of Crown love. A lot of Crown love.
Well, let's start. So everyone get your ballots ready. We're going to do most of the major categories. So let's start with the reality and variety categories. So reality TV competition, we have The Amazing Race, Nailed It, RuPaul's Drag Race, Top Chef, and The Voice.
Gosh. Well, don't we all think it's RuPaul's year?
Yes.
You know, I really think that this is, again, his year. And that I am not a big reality watcher. So people can do the minuscule thing. You know, the voice remains very strong. And there are these various other shows that are strong, but RuPaul's Drag Race has proved that it's a classic.
I'm a big Top Chef fan, and I thought that this pandemic season, they had some really, really good and interesting solutions to doing this during a pandemic, which I thought were really interesting. It was just as exciting, but I still think that RuPaul, I'll put RuPaul on the ballot. I mean, that's just a show that everyone loves and that every week everyone's watching it and there's all these new characters. And no, I think that that's unbeatable.
But really, what one thing that you said, which is really true, is that during the pandemic, the rise of the cooking show, the baking show, the rehab show, the flip, you know, buy it and flip it, all of those kind of household shows, because everybody was at home
cooking.
was cooking, even me. So, you know, yeah. I can make a really good roast beef now. I know the cut and I know how to do it. So
good for you.
Thanks, pandemic.
You couldn't invite anyone to eat it, but
in fact, it was so good that it didn't even make it to leftovers.
All right.
It was, it only made it to the midnight snack stage.
And then we have a strange little category, Variety Sketch Series. There's only two nominees. Black Lady Sketch Show.
Why don't you explain the category?
Yeah, I don't know, but Black Lady Sketch Show and Saturday Night Live, which apparently is sketch shows, and there's apparently only two of them.
Odd.
Yeah.
I find this category odd. Again, I think that this was one of the best years of Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And I was in college year one. So there's been a lot of years, but I have to say that the mix of people was so good. The guest host coming back, the sketches. And also I have huge appreciation for the musical sketches. They have a lot of musical comedy talent this year and they really foregrounded them.
I also think this was a better year than last year with several sketches and several of these musical sketches you're talking about that actually very much went viral. Bowen Yang's wonderful Titanic sketch.
That is one for the ages.
Yeah.
That Titanic iceberg.
Yeah, that's so I also think that due to the fact that people, when you're looking at this bout, really remember those sketches this year as opposed to last year, I'm putting down Saturday Night Live in this strange little two category
competition.
Then next we have the last one of those, and that's Variety Talk Show Series. There we have the regular bunch of guys, Conan, Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Gee, you know, I always just go with my favorites on this. And I think John Oliver is must watch. And I also love Colbert. So I would put it that as one and two. Could switch. And everybody, all the men are good. But those are the shows that I watch. And I think I'm not unique.
I'm definitely going for John Oliver. I think his voice during these difficult times is just what everyone refers to, even though I think Colbert's also done a very good pandemic job. Perhaps Conan, since he's sort of leaving, pulls at the heartstrings, but I do think it's John Oliver's year.
I think so too, also because he does those long reports, and he does, it's like this odd news comedy where he opens doors on situations, whether it's banking or, you know, taking on his own corporate.
Yeah, it's journalism at its best. I mean, this is what Jon Stewart was doing when he was at his best, and more than I like Trevor Noah, but more so I think that John Oliver's really taken over that place that, for me, at least, Jon Stewart once had in the,
and may have again since he's having a show. Yeah, and you know, I would also say that there's a certain nerdy bravery to John Oliver that's unique.
Okay, so now the next categories we're getting into are the limited or anthology series or movie, which is a very sort of convoluted name for something, but the past few years has been a huge category because the limited series has been such a huge, just big names, the big A-list Hollywood stars, some of the best things have been done there. So it's quite interesting. So let's start with the supporting actors here. We have supporting actress in limited, and there we have Renee Elise Goldsberry for Hamilton, Catherine Hahn for WandaVision, Moses Ingram for The Queen's Gambit, Julianne Nicholson for Mare of Easttown, Jean Smart for Mare of Easttown, and Philippa Sue for Hamilton.
Boy, this is a really tough, a tough category because so many great performances and apples to oranges, not very comparable. And so I'm just going to go with something that I really loved, which is Julianne Nicholson in Mare of Easttown. Because Julianne Nicholson is an actress that I always want to watch, and she's willing to be quiet and to be counter type. And she always goes for the emotional heart of a scene. She goes for the emotional heart, but she doesn't make it happen if it's not supposed to be there. I think she's really an underrated actress.
So true. She's amazing. Almost like one of those character actresses that come, you know, just lift up a series. Right. No, I agree. I think there's two here that it's between, even though, as you said, everyone is good, but I think it's between Catherine Hahn in WandaVision, who was so talked about and had that song that everyone was singing, and she's so beloved, and Julianne Nicholson for Mare of Easttown. And I think the only thing I'm thinking about with her is it's sort of quieted down a bit, the discussion of Mare of Easttown, which was so huge for a while. But Jean Smart is amazing too, but I think she's coming back. We'll get back to her in another
category. We'll get back to her.
So that's why I don't think she's winning.
We will definitely get back to her.
But it's between those two, and I'm going to put down Julianne as well, but it would not surprise me if Catherine had a lot of votes and
spoiled. And she's beloved and she's excellent.
And then we have supporting actor. There we have Thomas Brodie Sangster for The Queen's Gambit, David Diggs for Hamilton, Papa Essidu, am I saying that right? For I May Destroy You, Jonathan Groff for Hamilton, Evan Peters for Mare of Easttown, and Anthony Ramis for Hamilton. Lots of Hamilton here.
Lots of Hamilton, possibly canceling out Hamilton.
Canceling out Hamilton. That's not just possibly, I think it is.
So I again have two that have risen to the top. I think for me, Evan Peters from Mare of Easttown, it really is a supporting performance. It's against type. He seems like such a slacker, and then he becomes so menacing, and the way he unfolds, I think that that's a really standout performance. But I also love Thomas Brodie Sangster from The Queen's Gambit. Mm-hmm. He just kind of slings his way into the show. And every time he enters a scene, what he's going to do is unexpected and interesting. We think we know him from scene one, and we really don't know him at all.
Interesting. So, but who are you going with?
So I would go with Evan Peters in this case. And again, Mare of Easttown, I don't think there's going to be a Mare of Easttown sweep. I think as things have settled down, there's been a bit of a shift. But in this case, I think he has a real chance.
Well, at the moment, everyone I'm taking here is from Mare of Easttown. So hopefully it will sweep a bit, because I'm also taking Evan Peters. He was in WandaVision and so discussed there, and everyone loved what he did with that. And then all of a sudden he does this completely opposite role. Well, people weren't expecting him, as you said, to be so playing against type.
There's a thing, it's like, is this really Evan Peters?
Yes. You know? Yes. So lead actor and actress in limited. So actress, we have Michaela Cole in I May Destroy You, Cynthia Erivo in Genius Aretha, Elizabeth Olsen in WandaVision, Anya Taylor-Joy in The Queen's Gambit, and Kate Winslet in Mare of Easttown. This is the one that's driving me crazy of all to come. Do you want me to start or?
You start. You start and I'll pick up.
I just have to say that I think Michaela Cole is absolutely amazing. And I would, I think I May Destroy is one of the most incredible things that has been made for TV. It's just so brave and good, but I don't think she'll win, but I just, that would please me to no end. But I think it's absolutely between two other amazing performances, and that's Anya Taylor-Joy in your favorite, The Queen's Gambit, and Kate Winslet in Mare of Easttown, who is so stripped down, just an incredibly brave role in every sense of the word, such an interesting, flawed woman who people were talking about to no end. And then we have Anya Taylor-Joy in this role, which is also flawed, but very different, sort of mannered, but incredibly interesting. You have to help me here, because I think it's between those two.
I wish I could. I'll give you what I'll talk, you know, I think, let's start with Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's second, but she could win. And the reason I think she could win is because you can't stop watching her. And she is gradually, over time, aging, changing, you know, teenager to fashion plate, to drunk, to, there's so much going on in this young actress. And she's still kind of at the fine stage of her, you know, this is her big breakout hit. She's been in other things, and she's had notable performances, but this is kind of ending up being new girl, old girl. You know, I think not old, but, you know, someone who's been on the scene. Obviously, Kate Winslet has gotten her Oscars before, and this was really her stepping into a kind of glamorless role, and bringing depth and consistency and caring. I mean, it's Mare of Easttown. It's her.
It's her.
Mm-hmm. I guess if I went into my heart, I would say Anya. That's who I would want to win. But I think Kate Winslet will be rewarded for stepping so hard into television and acting against type.
I think I will go with Anya, actually, because I think that sort of ingenue and you just see her in this role in your mind as soon as you say The Queen's Gambit. You see, you know, her eyes, everything. But I'm absolutely not sure. But just to have something down here for the show, I'm going to.
Well, now you're making me think that maybe she could win.
It's really hard. The only thing that's bothering me is that I'm so sure about the other two in the other two supporting, and then all of a sudden, Kate doesn't win. That seems weird for Mare of Easttown. I mean, with Julianne Anders.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that and think. I saw Queen's Gambit, I started to watch it, and then I finished it recently, so it's fresher in my mind. But also, I felt a little bit like Mare of Easttown. There were times where I'm like, okay, I'm just seeing it to be complete.
Yeah.
Whereas The Queen's Gambit was every time it went in a different direction, and it was unexpected, and it was stylized, but the emotion was very strong. Such an interesting world, so many interesting characters that she interacts with,
and such a new world. I mean, Mare of Easttown it's very new to see Kate Winslet like that. Rust it's new out. In a sense, but it's still the murder mystery. Went off the rails a few times for me, if you ask me, but right. I mean, still really well acted and everything. So,
but also, Christina, I just want to pause and say you and I watch a lot of international TV. So that kind of female-driven detective show has already been done really, really well in Scandinavia, in France, in Spain. There are a lot, and in England, there are a lot of those shows. So maybe for me, watching it, it wasn't as... I'd rather watch Captain Marlowe, which is comedic, or, you know, I love Spiral, which is unexpected and has a central female character, Captain Berthaud, who's goes in so many different directions. We've seen these kind of Wallander things before, and Wallander obviously male, but the gloomy Gus detective is a trope. And so, yes, she's stepping in, and yes, she's terrific, but it's not really as groundbreaking as it's being pitched. Whereas I would say Queen's Gambit comes from a completely different silo.
I'm going with Anya.
Okay.
So good. Let's do lead actor in limited. There we have Paul Bettany for WandaVision, Hugh Grant for The Undoing, Ewan McGregor in Halston, Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton, and Leslie Odom Jr. for Hamilton.
It's kind of funny how Hamilton is just kind of dropped. Like, they're there. It was the biggest thing on Broadway. And then it really, although it's nominated, I don't think it's going to win much.
I don't think so either.
So I think Paul Bettany from WandaVision is probably the one that I would put my money on. I love Hugh Grant.
I hated that show, though.
What I would say is I became undone with the show before it was over. Or I came done before. I was finished before it ended.
It ended, yeah. He was good, but Paul Bettany seemed to love the role. He was just joy, and it was just nothing we'd ever seen from him before. No, I definitely think he just brought such a spark of energy to this that I think it's his here. And Halston was not a show that anyone really liked, even though Ewan McGregor is always great. And again, Hamilton, I think, just cancels itself out. I mean, that was on Broadway. It's spectacular, but filmed Broadway, maybe we don't need to award in a TV competition. So right. yeah, that's how I'm seeing it here.
So who do we have left?
So let's go to comedy. Yes. Let's go to supporting actress and actor in comedy. There we have Adi Bryant for SNL, Hannah Einbinder for Hacks, Kate McKinnon for SNL, Rosie Perez in The Flight Attendant, Cecily Strong in SNL, Juno Temple in Ted Lasso, and Hannah Waddingham in Ted Lasso. Now we're getting to a bunch of categories with so many nominees as opposed to the variety thing. So it's going to take a while for me to read them, but there you have them. I have a clear-cut winner here.
Okay, I am still torn.
Okay.
But I am a big Ted Lasso fan.
It has gotten
me through many weeks now that I've figured out how to get Apple Plus. And it's just been
a joy,
a savior. So I would say my number one is Hannah Waddingham. My number two is Juno Temple. I mean, she's fantastic. The whole thing. Yeah. So I'm very biased here, and I think I'm biased with
everyone else.
with everyone else that I think, and Hannah Waddingham, and then not only is she sad, funny, vulnerable, beautiful,
she sings like a goddess. Yeah, everything. She transforms it from this sort of power woman that we've seen a thousand times. She just takes this role to every place you can imagine.
Right.
I think another one who's I think very talked about and who does a good job is Hannah Einbinder in Hacks. I think a lot of people
very much so.
She deserves a lot of love and many other ones that hear it good, but I think it's Hannah all the way.
Exactly. And we have to just, you know, shout out to the women of Saturday Night Live. Oh. They have finally gotten the material they deserve to a greater extent. And they all three are good. Cecily Strong really had one of her strongest years. She was really given material to work with. And I think Kate McKinnon, you know, should be getting Kennedy Center honors for how much she contributed to America this past year.
So supporting actor in comedy, we have Carl
Clement. Oh, this is a hard one.
Yes. Carl Clemens Hopkins for Hacks, Brett Goldstein, Ted Lasso, Brendan Hunt, Ted Lasso, Nick Mohammed, Ted Lasso, Paul Reiser, The Kominsky Method, Jeremy Swift, Ted Lasso, Kenan Thompson for Saturday Night Live, Bowen Yang for Saturday Night Live. All these four Ted Lasso guys, I think, will cancel each other out, but all four are just amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. So I would say I'm going with Titanic, the
Me
Titanic
too.
iceberg. I think Bo and Yang, to me, this year, he did so many great things, but that's a classic Saturday Night Live sketch that they will repeat, you know, when they do the best of. And he has really come forward this year.
Isn't he still a featured player, right? I mean, I think it's going to be historic. If he wins, he's still not even part of, he's the featured player, which is not part of the main cast. And he's still brought so much in every, you know, to every single episode.
Right. The spoiler is potentially Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso. Because this season, season two, he is the man. And I'll say one thing. He's probably the character that brings my husband back again and again to sit and watch it with me.
Yeah.
And he's so tender with his niece. And again, this is another character who's growing, who has so many layers, who's interesting, and is still always funny, always hits his mark.
Who could have been so
scary. So that would be the spoiler.
Well, I have another spoiler. I think that Kenan Thompson could be a spoiler because I think he's so beloved. He's been the longest cast member in SNL history, I think, at this point. He has another show on. I think people really find him deserving. He did win for writing or something like that, I think, at the career, so he has one. But I also have this feeling about Bowen that people just have him top of mind when you see this long list of people. Everyone loves all the Ted Lasso, but you have to sort of choose between all these great ones. And Coach Brendan Hunt is so great, and he's also written the show written on the show. So I just think they sort of cancel each other out and happy to be nominated and they'll be back for season two. But
exactly. So I'm going with Bowen. I'm sinking with the Titanic on that one.
Me too. So then we have the leads in comedy, lead actress, Adie Bryant for Shrill. So she's actually double nominated, both in supporting and Kwelee Cuoco for The Flight Attendant, Allison Janney for Mom, Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, and Jean Smart for Hacks.
Jean Smart. It's going to be Jean Smart.
Not getting for Mare, but she is so absolutely terrific that.
She's so absolutely terrific in Mare of Eastham also as the mother. She's really, really good. I mean, she's just an actress who's always been good, designing women. She was fabulous. And there was a period where she didn't get that many, as much to do. And now she's come back and Hacks is a great role for her.
So lead actor comedy, Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Michael Douglas, The Kominsky Method, William H. Macy, Shameless, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, and Kenan Thompson for Kenan, also double nominated. Sudeikis, right?
Sudeikis.
Contest.
There's no question. I mean, he is the heart and soul of that show.
There's nothing to talk about. I think
I think for a generation, a younger generation that is dealing with anxiety, to see him have panic attacks and anxiety attacks and how he deals with them and how the people around him deal with it, it's really addressing something that's very important in a comedic way.
Yeah, it has many layers and they have such a diverse group of writers, lots of women on the show writing, at least for season two. They're doing some interesting things with the format that could be so stereotypical. You could think, we're going to make fun of Americans coming to England. We're going to make fun of the British soccer players and everything is just not what you think it's going to be at the end.
And a really lovely Christmas episode.
Oh my God, that we're going to go back to. It became canon immediately. So we'll be watching Snoopy. We'll be watching a couple of them. And then also Ted Lasso's Christmas episode.
Right.
So drama, because I want to save the series for the very end. Let's do supporting actress. Gillian Anderson in The Crown, Madeline Brewer in The Handmaid's Tale, Helena Bonham Carter in The Crown, Anne Dowd in The Handmaid's Tale, Anjanou Ellis for Lovecraft Country, Emerald Fennell for The Crown, Yvonne Strahovski for The Handmaid's Tale, and Samira Wiley for The Handmaid's Tale.
So it's a lot of people competing against other people in their series, which is tricky. I am saying Gillian Anderson,
who can do no wrong in my book. Anyone who plays Margaret Thatcher wins, and she did it well.
Meryl Streep won that Oscar against all odds. She did.
And Gillian has won for this before with the Golden Globes, right? Wasn't it for this role? No, I think it's hers. And I think this is where we're getting into the crown sweeps and drama.
Crown cluster.
Yeah.
I love Helena Bonham Carter. So, what can you do?
Yes, now we're going to actor. So Giancarlo Esposito for The Mandalorian, Oti Fagbenel for The Handmaid's Tale, John Lithgow, Perry Mason, Tobias Menzies in The Crown, Max Minghella, The Handmaid's Tale, Chris Sullivan, This Is Us, Bradley Whitford, The Handmaid's Tale, and Michael K. Williams for Lovecraft Country.
Well, we can take out all the Handmaid's Tale people who were competing against each other and just go, there's no way that will coalesce. I am among those who can't figure out why Lovecraft Country did not get renewed.
Me neither.
And I think, Michael K. Williams deserves the award, and his premature death this last month, how can it not solidify it? This great, great, great actor who time and again, The Wire, Boardwalk Empire,
Love some of the best series Country. Ever made, some of the best characters that he made really embodied. No, I agree.
Made. Yeah. I just, how can you not recognize that this moment this year?
So now we have lead actress in drama. Uzo Aduba in Treatment, Olivia Colman, The Crown, Emma Corrin, The Crown, Elizabeth Moss, The Handmaid's Tale, MJ Rodriguez in Pose, and Journey Smollett for Lovecraft Country.
I would have to say that it's the Princess Di winning. It's the, Emma Corrin of The Crown. We're going to see a lot of The Crown. It's hard to imagine Olivia Colman not winning, but I do think it's Emma. What about you?
I think it's going to be so much Di this year, with Spencer coming, Kristen Stewart, with Emma Corrin.
All the drama that's still continuing in the palace, right?
For me, it's between two here. It's Emma Corrin, The Crown, and MJ Rodriguez in Pose, which I think a lot of people have talked about that performance and how great it is. And it could be a spoiler, but I am also going with Emma Corrin. I think she, especially that episode, which I now don't remember what the name was, but where she's roller skating in the castle, and she just did a really good job in a role that could have been just, parody, really.
Right. I think so too. And a lot of people feel ownership about Princess Di, and they feel like Emma met their expectations.
So lead actor drama, Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us, Jonathan Mayers in Lovecraft Country, Josh O'Connor in The Crown, Rege Jean Page in Bridgerton, Billy Porter in Pose, and Matthew Rhys for Perry Mason.
I loved Matthew Rhys and Perry Mason. I love Perry Mason. For those people who have not yet watched the whole series, it takes 3 or 4 episodes to launch. And then once it does, it is fantastic. And he is the heart and soul. And he goes through a real transformation. At first, you're like, shave. You're so depressed, like, shave. And then and then by the end, you realize, the purpose of it is that he's so lost at the beginning and he finds himself by the end. That said, I do think it's going to be Josh O'Connor for The Crown. This is going to be part of the places where they take their Emmys.
I am going with Josh O'Connor too, but I have the same spoiler from the same show because I think the possible spoiler here is Billy Porter in Pose, who also did an incredible season.
Fantastic.
This I think is close, actually. I think it's even closer than MJ Rodriguez in Pose, right, and Emma Corrin. But I still think, especially considering the 1 minute win for Claire Foy for the crown and the Creative Arts, I think that this is the crown sweep.
Crown sweep.
Limited or anthology series: I May Destroy You, Mare of Easttown, The Queen's Gambit, The Underground Railroad, and WandaVision. These are some great shows, I have to say.
Some great shows.
I mean, The Underground Railroad is a tough watch, but oh my God, it's good. And I May Destroy You again. I cannot emphasize enough how much I think this was something new that came out of nowhere and just blew me away. And I think Mare of Easttown and The Queen's Gambit are so talked about and beloved, and WandaVision has its huge following. This is hard.
I know, but I am going to just leap Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, I'm going to take Queen's Gambit too. I think Mare of Easttown had a huge moment, but it's less talked about.
That's exactly how I feel. And The Queen's Gambit and I don't know if this is because I saw it later and so it stayed, but it's really stayed in my mind. And I really enjoyed every part of it. You know, the cinematography, the design, the fashion, the supporting players. I just thought this was a story I had not seen before.
And as you were saying before, when we're talking about it, Mare of Easttown is more of a trope, even though we needed it during the pandemic and it was exciting and so well acted, but it's less original, maybe.
I would say that.
So comedy series, here's a whole bunch. Although I think this is also in the bag. Blackish, Cobra Kai, Emily in Paris, Hacks, The Flight Attendant, The Kominsky Method, Pen 15, and Ted Lasso. We're thinking Ted Lasso, right?
Ted Lasso is the comedy of the pandemic. It's the, you know, the feel good, feel bad comedy of the pandemic. It just hits all the right notes without trying to hit all the right notes.
But can I just ask you, Thelma, how can Emily in Paris be in here with so much other stuff?
They're
paying someone for this?
Well, it must, maybe it had a good campaign. And I think, you know, the whole idea of campaigning and predicting, everything is different this year. It's not like we have the big parties and all of the currying of favor, although there's still swag and there's still events, but not like it has been in the past. So it'll be interesting to see where this all lands. But Emily in Paris, no idea how it got there.
No, but we're going Ted Lasso all the way here. So last but not least, drama series: The Boys, Bridgerton, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Pose, and This Is Us. And this is just the continued sweep, right? The Crown.
Yeah, Crown. Continued sweep. I think is funny because I was always so into period dramas, and now they've become so mainstream. They become so mainstream that then you even have Bridgerton, which takes it and turns it on its head, or The Great from Hulu that turns the period pieces on their head. So I think that this is a slam dunk at this level. It's a slam dunk that it's going to be The Crown.
Thelma, this is always so great. So on Sunday, we'll know. I think there's not a lot of things we disagreed on. We have a few that we're more uncertain on, but I think that we'll have to watch this sort of together and see where we were completely wrong. But I think we'll be wrong together.
We'll be wrong together or right together. So we'll still have the same percentage.
Thank you so much. I'll call you again.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you again soon.
Science, science, science. Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Woo! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.